Today, we're going to talk about happiness. Is it in all of us, or are some people destined to be miserable? And can you solve for happiness by writing lines of code? Mo Gaudat thinks so. This is Which Way Is Life, the podcast designed to help you find your way to a healthier, inspired life. And today, we are in search of happiness. This is episode 56. And again, my guest today, Mo Gaudat. Mo is the chief business officer at Google's futuristic Dream Factory. In the past 10 years, he has made happiness his primary topic of research, diving deeply into literature and conversing on the topic with thousands of people in more than 100 countries. In 2014, motivated by the tragic loss of his son, Ali, Mo began pouring his findings into his first book, Solve for Happy. Mo, thank you for joining me today. I like to start the show with the one thing. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Great. Can you quickly share with us one thing someone can do to improve their life today?
One thing. I'd say navigate life as you would navigate a video game.
Okay, that's a new one. I haven't heard that before. And how should we do that?
Think of life as, if you were a gamer going through life and life became a little more difficult every now and then, would you... put your controller down and complain? Would you sit down and feel sad that the game is a little difficult? Would you send an email to Microsoft and say, can you please make Halo a little easier? You wouldn't do any of that. If life becomes tough every now and then, you strive to be a better gamer. You understand that the game of life is designed to be hard every now and then, and you continue to do better. And by the way, if you go through and there are a few enemies here and there that shoot a few bullets at you, you go like, okay, that's the fun part of the game. I can go through that and I enjoy it because it's challenging, not because I want to win, because the joy of the game is actually playing the game, not getting to the end and ending it and putting the controller down.
That's right. So find the joy in going through the game, and when you find adversity, you work through it.
Absolutely. And you develop and learn and you become a better gamer.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. And Mo, before we dig into your story, can you let us in a bit on your personal life? What brings you joy when you're not saving the world?
I'm never really saving the world. I'm trying the absolute, I'm trying the best I can to make a few million people joyful, I hope. And what brings me joy most is learning. Is to spend a little bit of time with myself and or with people I love.
Well, that's very good. And to me, bringing happiness to millions of people, to me, that is saving the world. So you're doing that, Mo, and we appreciate it.
I'm happy you like that, but you're going to help me do it.
Okay, good. We're going to do it together. And I quickly want to mention Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/whichwayislife. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Now, Mo, let's dig into this a little bit. You were a successful but desperately unhappy person 15 years ago. So you set out applying logic, research, and science to finding permanent happiness. So what were you feeling back then, and what led you to this journey?
It was really not an uncommon story. I mean, I was very successful in business and, was given fortune and fame and, a good title and a promotion and a wonderful family at my late 20s, if you want. And the more life blessed me, the more unhappy I became, which is not an uncommon story, believe it or not. Amongst many of the very successful people I would know, many of them are unhappy with what material success and wealth they have acquired. And to me, I think the challenge was, as I started to read myself out of the problem, I bought every possible title I could find on the topic of happiness and ended up not understanding a single word. I just read through all of them and, my engineer's mind just couldn't get it. I couldn't even understand what they were trying to solve, what the problem statement was, what the algorithm that, this physical form that we are follows, and accordingly, why does it break and make us unhappy? And so I sort of tried to find an alternative approach to happiness that sort of spoke to my mind, spoke to the people that were, me being an example of that, people who were engaged in life, trying to make a difference in life, and, you know, who people who didn't have the chance to do eat, pray, love, if you want. We didn't have a chance to go away for a couple of years and find ourselves. And so as an engineer, you would find happiness from a very, very different angle. You would actually first define the problem statement, define what happiness really is, then put that in an equation that describes the algorithm of how we work and what is breaking, and then develop a model that you can run every single time there is a reason for you to be unhappy and find that happiness again.
So you came up with a piece of code and you started inputting this information.
More an algorithm than a code, a model, if you want, right? So maybe it's code because maybe our human brains understand words. But think of it this way: if you know why what happiness is, you would know why it breaks. And happiness, in my research, was surprisingly found in a very algorithmic way. I couldn't find a definition for what it is that I was searching for in any of those books. So I went out and I basically listed down every moment I could remember in my entire life when I felt happy. And then I tried to find a trend line between them, a curve fit that fits among all of those points. And you know what the equation of that curve was? It was that you are happy when the events of your life seem to meet your expectations, right? Regardless of how good your life might be, if life missed your expectations on one thing, you feel unhappy. So you could be, in an air-conditioned car and everything is okay and you're going to get to your destination on time, but there is a little bit of a traffic jam. And you would look at that and say, life shouldn't put me in a traffic jam. I'm unhappy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You take that one equation and you apply it to every, situation in your life, and you would find that it's that mismatch between the comparison between events and expectations that we actually do up to 60,000 times a day that makes us unhappy. But it's not the event that makes us unhappy. It's the way we think about it that makes us unhappy. Now you find that and you think about it and you say, okay, so this is about the thoughts that we generate about the world around us. Are we, taught to manage our thoughts? Of course we are. In business, in engineering, even when you're listening to this conversation, right, you can mm-hmm. instruct your brain to do what you tell it to do. And so there must be a programmatic way where you can instruct your brain to stop giving you those thoughts that make you unhappy. And I think that's what the core of my work was all about.
I like what you said there. You are happy when your life meets your expectations. So how do we recalibrate our thoughts then, or get our expectations in line?
So, my first approach to this was, okay, let's, try to fix the events and expectations, right? But you realize that, there is a bigger reason why the machine is breaking. And the reasons I call them in my model, I call them 6 and 7, right? There are 6 grand illusions that impact us when we solve this equation, in the way we think about things. So, you are born happy. Every child you've ever, seen, if they're fed, if they're safe, if they're loved, if they have what they need to survive, they're happy. Their default state is happy. You don't need to give them a promotion to be happy. You don't need to give them an iPhone to be happy, right? They can play with
right.
their toes and be happy. Mm. Now, they grow out of that because we take them out of that, birthright of being happy, and we tell them you have to engage in the modern world. And so to engage in the modern world, you think about 6 concepts in a way that makes you successful. You believe that this is the way those concepts operate because it makes you successful in life, right? But those 6 concepts truly break your happiness equation because what you're dealing with is an illusion. I call them the 6 grand illusions. So, you look at the modern world, for example, and you realize that because thought and planning and analysis and, science have brought us so far in life, right, has made our civilization what it is, we glorify thought so much that we believe that I think, therefore I am, right? But the truth is, thought is just a biological function. It's exactly like your heart is responsible for pumping blood around your body. Your brain has a function that is a little more mystical. You know, it's producing thoughts that's like not blood, but it's still a biological function. It's there for your survival. It's there to analyze the world around you, right? And, you know, figure it out and then make a decision that coordinates your muscle responses to keep you alive, right? Now, when you think of your brain that way, suddenly the concept of I think, therefore I am doesn't appear to be very accurate. It really appears to be an illusion. And so you start to realize I am, therefore my brain thinks. That's the truth of that statement. And if that's the case, you stop associating with those thoughts. You don't have to obey every time, which is very different than if you think that you're the one telling you what to do. Now, that is just one of the six grand illusions, right?
Can you share those six with us real quick? I'm very curious
of course,
to learn what they are.
So thought is one. The second is the illusion of self. And the illusion of self is multi-layered, really. We associate so strongly with our physical form, we associate so strongly with our egos, and we have an illusion that I call the illusion of entitlement. Because of the way we are designed, looking at the world around us, we think that each of us is the center of the universe. While the truth is, the universe doesn't really care that much about me. The universe is moving its wheels in a very, very, you know, sort of deterministic way, and if I'm under them, I'll be crushed. If I'm on top of them, I'll go far. It's as simple as that. So that illusion of self makes us associate with things about ourselves. Ego, again, as I said, is one big one of them in the modern world that make us unhappy, right? Then there is the illusion of knowledge, that we actually think we know, while those who really know would tell you that we know very little and that most of what we know changes every 3 to 6 months, right? So when you think about it, Confucius would say that true knowledge is to know the extent of your ignorance, right? And when we associate very strongly with our knowledge, we end up feeling very unhappy when our knowledge is attacked or when our knowledge is jeopardized. Then there is the illusion of time, the biggest in my view of all of them. We deal with time because the modern world and the industrial revolution wants us to be efficient and productive and so on. But the truth is no one even knows what we're dealing with. From a scientific point of view, we don't even know what we're measuring. And even further, from a philosophical point of view, we spend most of our time, you know, life thinking back to the past and regretting things and thinking back to the forward to the future and worrying about things, while the only experience we will ever have is living in the real world in this moment of time, this slice of time. There is the illusion of control, a very, very common illusion amongst my fellow executives in business, where we tend to believe that we can control things. All we really can is we can try to control things, and between butterfly effects and, you know, black swans, often things will get out of control. We'll try to control them again, but we need to realize that they'll often go out of control. And as long as you need control so obsessively to be happy, you will never find happiness because everything goes out of control. And then finally, there is the illusion of fear. And the illusion of fear is when you realize that most of our fears are so highly exaggerated that in reality, most of what we fear it shouldn't be feared. And while, of course, you know, fear will continue to be that emotion that is so hard to control, you might as well just acknowledge to yourself that what you're fearing is so exaggerated that it's close to being an illusion. Okay? You might as well you can feel free to continue to fear it, but at least understand that it shouldn't make you unhappy. So these are the six grand illusions. You factor those illusions into your equation, and what do you get? Most of the time you get the wrong response, right? Most of the time you get the wrong answer. Most of the time you think that that life is missing your expectations, okay? And so what do you feel? You feel unhappy. Moreover, what also skews our view drastically is what I call the seven blind spots. So you and I were not designed to walk the streets of New York. We were designed to escape the tiger. Right. So when you know, if you look back at the design of this incredible machine and how it evolved over time to be the species that really dominates, right? This machine had features in it that made it successful, okay? We had features. Let me give you one example. I call it filtering, right? If the tiger actually did show up in the jungle, your brain had no time to focus on the sounds of the birds and the smells of the flowers and the nice breeze on your face. It doesn't care about all of that. It needs to filter everything around it and focus entirely on the tiger so that it has a fight or flight response, right? Now, mm-hmm. we take that into our life in the modern world and we apply that to 99% of what's around you. I mean, the example I gave earlier about being stuck in traffic may annoy you because you're filtering everything else and focusing on the fact that you're stuck in traffic. You're not thinking about the fact that you're going to meet someone you love, that you're in a car, not walking to where you're going, that you're not in Africa starving, that there are so many good things in your life. You filter all of that and you focus on that one problem that annoys you, right? Filtering is one of seven. Filtering is one. We filter around 99% of the truth around us. Then our brains realize, but that's not enough information, so they start to assume, right? And they present you their assumptions as if they were facts. And then they plug a little bit of the past. Hey, by the way, when that happened before, this happened, so you might as well feel unhappy already. Or they plug a little bit of the future. They assume what's going to happen, and they say, hey, you're going to get fired, right? So you might as well feel unhappy. Mm-hmm. But you're not the oracle. And by the way, most of the past that you factor into your view of the events is just what you think happened, not really what happened, right? Then they go on to label everything so that they can make snap judgments. They mix in a little bit of emotions and they exaggerate to get your attention, right? And when you really think about it, a brain that does all of this is constantly blurring the truth. And when you factor in events into your happiness equation that are not the truth, you're needlessly suffering. So my model basically says, if you can bust the six grand illusions and fix the seven blind spots, you will see the truth so often that most of the time when you solve your happiness equation, you'll end up happy, not unhappy.
Can you give us then like a step-by-step process for achieving lifelong happiness and enduring contentment?
Yeah. Yeah, I wish it was that easy. It does take work, believe it or not. So let me tell you this. A step-by-step process to getting super fit and having a six-pack is eat healthy and work out, right? That's so easy to say, right? As a matter of fact, you need to start by making a decision that you're going to get fit, then eat healthy and work out, right? Finding happiness is exactly like being fit. You have to start with, I'm going to make happiness my priority, right? You know how we go through life thinking that if I achieve this or if I get that or if I, if she loves me or if he gives me this, I'm going to be happy, and you never really end up happy when you get those things.
Right.
It's because you're sort of finding a middleman. It's like, if you give me this, I'll be happy. But what you want is to be happy. So you might as well solve for happy, right? You might as well make it your priority, make it your top achievement and work for it. So that's number one. Number two is you need to start getting aware of the thoughts that are causing you to be unhappy, right? You can go at the micro level and understand that this thought is because of the illusion of time and that thought is because of the blind spot of labeling, right? That's good. But at the end of the day, when you realize that there are thoughts taking you over and making you feel unhappy or making you feel worried or making you feel angry, the awareness that they exist leads you to do a very simple analysis. Number one is you need to ask yourself, is that thought true? Or is my brain blurring the truth, right? If it's untrue, then there is no point in needless suffering, right? If it is true, and very rarely, I would say, life gives us horrible events and, we really deserve a few fronds here and there, right? If it is true, then do what Franklin Covey said, 25 years ago. If you can do something about it, do it, right? And then you will not feel unhappy. If you cannot, can you learn to accept? Because, by the way, there's nothing you can do about it. Okay? So the example I build in Soul for Happy is entirely around how I lost my wonderful son Ali unexpectedly, and Ali mm-hmm. meant so much to me. And, you know, I found myself without my best friend and without my son in 4 hours. Now, you need to ask yourself the following question. Did I really have a choice to be happy or unhappy? Everyone will say, hey, you lost your son. You might as well close your room and spend the next 10 years crying. And no one would blame me if I did that, right? But then the truth is I had two choices, not one. Choice number one was to do that and it wouldn't bring Ali back. And choice number two is to try to do what I'm trying to do here, right? Try to use Ali's legacy and tell people how he lived his life and hopefully get a few million people happy and hopefully get those few million people to send him a happy wish so he's happy, mm-hmm. you know, with me, with what I'm trying to do after he left, right? It's the determination of telling myself, and by the way, even if that happens and we achieve the target of 10 million happy, you know what? It's not going to bring Ali back. But it's going to make the world a slightly better place. Now, I know that sounds so difficult, but that's exactly what you do when you're working out, right? That's exactly what you do when you decide to be fit. You tell yourself, you know what? The first few days in the gym are going to be so hard, but I'm determined. I'm going to find that fitness. Or in our case, I'm going to find that happiness. When my thoughts come and try to take me over, I'm going to try to go back and find out what's wrong with those thoughts.
Right. You know, you've been very open about the tragic death of Ali, and thank you for sharing and being so open about that. And it really has tested your belief in happiness. And so far, what have you found out?
Life is a video game. We started with that. and you'll be amazed. I mean, Ali was a serious gamer, and I spent hours and hours playing with my best friend. And, you know, one of our favorite games was Halo. And Halo is, you know, it's always like some sort of a war game. You're being shot at and you're shooting aliens and you're trying to, you know, get to the end of the level or the game. And you know, I'll just give you a few interesting views of it, right? When we played, I am a very strategic player. It's like I want to get to the end of the level, right? If it takes me a minute to get there, why should I spend 10 minutes in the level, right? Ali didn't mm-hmm. do that. Ali, the serious gamer, did not do that. He would actually go to the hardest part of the game, you know, where there are explosions and smoke. And I would go like, Ali, why are you doing this? And he would say, Papa, that's where all the fun is. That's where you develop and learn. That's where you become a better gamer, mm-hmm. right? So when you think of smoke and explosions, what bigger smoke or and explosions than losing your wonderful son? Right? This is the biggest explosion. Now, is there a possibility to develop and learn? Is there a possibility to turn this into something good? I mean, definitely not fun, but can we turn it into something good? That's what I've learned, right? I've learned mm-hmm. that sooner or later, this level will be over for me. And I learned not to look at the end of the level, to look at this part of the game. Right? Because this part of the game is where I can enjoy life. I can try to make a difference. I can try to collect as many skills as I can for the end of the game. Right? Mm-hmm. And it's a different way of looking at it, believe it or not. But it just makes life a little more enjoyable, if you want. That there is no winning or losing. There is just the game as it unfolds.
So you're almost talking about time and the present moment, right? Why is the present moment so important to our happiness?
So this is truly my favorite illusion, if you want, and definitely the biggest illusion of them all. So time is really elusive. You know, even Einstein himself with, you know, the theory of relativity that truly is the biggest piece of science we have on time would tell you past, you know, Albert Einstein's quote is past, present, and future is nothing but a stubbornly, a stubborn illusion, right? So basically, we go through life with one of three options, right? We can either live in the present moment, and that would probably be the only moment you will ever live, right? Because if you have never lived in the past, every moment you've ever lived in the past was a present moment that turned into the past when you passed it. And you will never live in the future because every moment in the future is going to be a moment of now when it happens. So every time you've ever lived was a moment of now. Yet, most of us live a majority of our life inside our heads, thinking about the past and the future. Now, I did a small piece of research that shows that most negative emotions are anchored to the past or the future. So regret is anchored to the past. It's about an event that already passed. Worry is anchored in the future. It's about an event that hasn't even happened. And surprisingly, you have no control over them. You can never erase the event that happened in the past. And you can never really predict the event. You're not the oracle. You can never predict the event that's happening in the future, right? But yet we spend the majority of our life living inside our head and not enjoying life instead of living in the present moment. So, you know, this is, by the way, why meditation works. Because when you meditate, you pull your entire focus and attention to the present moment. And when you do that, you actually live. Otherwise, you're just thinking, maybe daydreaming. I don't know what you want to call it, but you're not alive. And it completely drains your happiness.
That's so true. I love what you just said there. Most negative emotions are anchored to the past or the future. And I think that's so true. And we're a lot of people, myself included, thinking about the future, thinking about the past. And I catch myself sometimes saying, you know, are you here right now? Are you paying attention right now?
Exactly.
Hello.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful day outside. Are you paying attention to this? Or are you so worried about what you have to do next week? You're missing this moment. So I've tried to become more aware of myself. So, right.
I did a quick calculation, Bill. And you know how the last 20 years sort of felt like 2 months or so? Right, you know how life really zooms by somehow,
yeah,
and
right.
And I have no scientific evidence of that, but in my calculation, I'm saying perhaps it's because I only lived 2 months. Perhaps it's only it's because I actually paid attention to 2 months, and
right.
The rest I was living inside my head. And you know how much the rest is? 10,450,000 hours that you lived inside your head.
It's so depressing,
right?
When you think of it that way. It's like, oh, such a waste. You're right.
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. Oh, wow. Well, you're making so much sense, and you're putting it in such a way that's easy to understand. So thank you for doing that for us. And you did mention the 10 million happy, I should say, hashtag 10 million happy mission. How can we get involved in that?
Well, so thank you for bringing that up. I'm truly doing this for the single purpose of sending out a message of happiness that I have truly tested so heavily. I taught this at Stanford University, spoken to thousands of people. And, you know, while there is no message ever that will resonate in its totality with everybody, you know, everyone will find what is making them unhappy, and hopefully find something that they can improve and that can make them a little happier. I cannot reach 10 million people alone. I definitely cannot. And the only way where we can do this is to do it together by asking people to pay it forward, right? So you can pay it forward by just telling people what you learn, right? Pointing them to this podcast, pointing them to some of the videos online, soulforhappy.com or youtube.com/soulforhappy. Or you can simply, teach this to friends. You can maybe get a copy of the book and read it with your partner. I get a ton of very positive feedback about people sharing that experience and the conversation. The idea is this: if each of us tells 10 people and they tell 10 people, we may completely overachieve the 10 million, right? And
so
and
good.
Truly, and absolutely, I mean, and 10 million in the internet world is not such a big target, to be honest. And then think about it this way: can you imagine our world if we had 10 million people happier instead of angry and, fighting and saying the other guy is wrong, right? It truly
right.
would be a better world.
And that's exactly what we need right now. There's no question
Absolutely.
About that.
Absolutely. There is no better time than now.
And Mo, my podcast only reaches 9 million people, so that we got another million to go and we'll get there. We're gonna get.
Okay, can you work a little harder, Bill? Please, can you get that other million?
I'm gonna for you, Mo. I am working. Darn it, that's what I'm doing. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Well, thank you for being with me today. And the book is Solve for Happiness. Make sure you go and get that. I'm sorry, Solve for Happy. Well, coming up, we get the high five from Mo. But first, after the interview with Mo, if you could do me a big favor, if you have an iTunes account, go on over to my page, just search Which Way Is Life, and rate and review the podcast. Take 30 seconds and do that. By doing that, we reach a wider audience, and it gives us a chance to help more people, and that's what this podcast is all about. So if you could do that for me, I'd really appreciate it. The High Five with Mo is next. Which Way Is Life is brought to you by Audible.com. And just for listening to Which Way Is Life, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check it out. So if you like listening to podcasts like this one, you're going to love Audible.com. So I would recommend you check it out and browse all the books you can download for free with a 30-day trial. Just go to audibletrial.com/ and then type in Which Way Is Life. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ Which Way Is Life for your free audio book. Time for the high five with my guest today, Mo Gaudet. Mo, thank you again for being with me. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Okay, question number one. Help us out right now. What is the one immediate thing you want us to do or change in our life to become happier the minute this interview is over?
Stop listening to your brain as if it was you. Your brain is just a biological function you don't have to obey.
I like that. That's good. Stop listening to your brain. It's overthinking. Stop it from overthinking.
Overdoing everything.
Question number two. Tell me about something that really makes you happy today.
I feel very happy when I see other people happy.
Okay. Very good. Question number three. For someone who is skeptical of your formula, what would you say to that person?
I'd say knowledge is an illusion. Be open to a new perspective.
Mm-hmm. Just be open. Open your mind. You may get that knowledge and enlightenment.
Yeah, and you know what? When you read through Soul for Happy, there will be some things that are wrong. I totally guarantee that because you know what? Again, knowledge is an illusion.
Mm-hmm. All right, question number four. Do you have a favorite quote you can share with us?
Yeah, of course. I live by my son's quote. My son had a tattoo on his back that he lived by throughout his life, and it read, "The gravity of the battle means nothing to those at peace," which is so true because the gravity of this battle meant a lot less for me when I was at peace.
Mm-hmm. Very good. And we're going to put that quote up on the show notes page at radiomd.com. So if you want to get that again, it'll be right there for you. And last question, question number five, Mo, finish this sentence. Throughout my life, the most important thing I've learned is?
Your purpose comes to you. You don't go and search for your purpose.
Very interesting. It comes to you.
If you just
know it.
What you're good at and you do it honestly and as hard as you can and you do it long enough and you feel happy doing it, your purpose will show up and say, you're ready. Let's work together and make a difference.
Very good. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Well, the book is Solve for Happy. I want you to go out and get that. You're going to learn a lot. And Mo, how can we connect with you?
So www.soulforhappy.com. I am at Soul for Happy on Twitter. I'm on facebook.com/soulforhappy. And I'm mo@soulforhappy.com is my email.
That's terrific, and we're going to put links and all that good stuff on the show notes page at radiomd.com, where you'll be able to learn more about Mo, and we're going to put a link to the book as well right there on the show notes page, radiomd.com. Mo, thank you again, and as I sign out, I'm going to leave you with one of my own favorite quotes, if you will, which is, remember to enjoy the little things in life, because one day you will look back and realize they were the big things. Mo, thank you again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Mo. I know I did. And remember, try to live your life in the present. Worried about what's going to happen in the future or what happened in the past, It's going to make you unhappy. It's proven. It's true. Try to live your life in the present. You will be happier. And thank you so much for listening. Remember to catch every episode of Which Way Is Life. Just hit the subscribe button on iTunes or my show page at RadioMD.com. And again, if I could ask a quick favor, please rate and review the podcast on iTunes. It gives us a chance to reach a wider audience. Which Way Is Life is produced by RadioMD.com, award-winning health podcasts. I'd also like to thank my producer, Pamela Moore. I'm Bill Klaproth. You can find me at Which Way Is Life on Twitter and Facebook. You can also check out the show notes at RadioMD.com for all of my episodes. Thanks for listening, and stay well.